This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go!
What's going on, everybody? Today, we are happy to announce a new format-style episode that we will be continuing to throw into the mix of our podcast. For those of you that don't know, one of Bingetown's hosts, Kathleen, actually has a secondary podcast called My Favorite Episode Of. She was a part of this podcast for a very long time, but unfortunately, as life got busy, the show had to eventually end. The premise of her podcast was to have its host sit down and talk with a guest who picked their very favorite show and favorite episode from that show to make the host sit down and watch the episode, and then continue to convince them to watch the whole series. Now back to Bingetown, this new segment is going to be an absorption of the My Favorite Episode Of format, with the twist of it being strictly revolved around pilot episodes. We are calling this style of episode Pitchtown TV. This first episode you are about to hear is from months back when I, Luke, went on to Kathleen's podcast and pitched the show The Magicians. If you know anything about us over at Bingetown, this show is our absolute favorite and makes total sense to premiere as our first ever Pitchtown TV episode. With that being said, look out for our future episodes of Pitchtown TV, where we will continue to have new guests and listen to the pitches of all types of shows, not just fantasy and sci-fi. But for now, here's that extra bit of Magicians content that you can use to convince your friends just how awesome the show is.
We don't do intros. But I'm gonna intro him because he's my best dude. We've got how do I explain my best dude? My favorite nephew. If Bobby or Kevin is listening to this, please disregard.
It's the truth.
We've got my nephew and my co-podcaster from Bingetown TV. Hi, Luke.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me, guys.
This is why we don't do intros anymore, because they're awkward as fuck.
I think that you made that suspenseful, Kathleen.
Yeah, I'm never the one that is on the receiving end of it, you know? I'm always the interviewer. So this is abnormal for me. Yeah.
Luke gets a shout out in four different episodes, but they all end up in us going, fuck you, Luke. Like, joking around.
Damn.
And then I go, he's my nephew. It's fine.
Well, I was actually listening to your guys' podcast recently. And first of all, I just want to say that I absolutely love the idea of your guys' podcast. I think you guys do a great job. And I think the first time I listened to it was probably maybe a year and a half ago when Julia was on it and she pitched the episode of Lost. And I was just so in love with the format, and I was just in the right mood that it literally caused me to binge that entire series over the course of, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. So I love that I get to be part of this show, because you guys have a great idea. I'm ready to talk The Magicians today.
Inspiring.
Wow. Well, props. Oh my God, I can't speak. I was going to say props to producer Brat for the idea of the show, but I just got way too inside my own head that I just said props. So that's a word. We're talking about magicians today, people. Kathleen loves magicians. Luke apparently loves magicians. I guess it just, like, runs in the fam.
Yeah.
We're talking about episode one, season one.
I have a theory right now. I think that Kathleen has been secretly booking people as guests to talk about the shows that she wants to talk about, because it seemed like she may have forced Julia to pick Pretty Little Liars a couple weeks ago. And now all of a sudden, Luke, who I listen to Bingetown constantly, and I don't doubt that Luke is a fan of The Magicians, but I feel like if you ask Luke, he may have picked an episode of How I Met Your Mother instead. So I just want to make sure that there's not...
Matt, you shut your fucking mouth.
Matt, I got to tell you right now how wrong you are, because this show is, like, top three ever, all time for me. And I have a list a detailed list of like my top 50 shows.
So the other two, if you don't mind me asking, I'm just curious.
Game of Thrones is up there, and even though the ending is trash, and then Dark. Dark is the number one show ever. It is perfect from beginning to end. That show's great, and it's a little bit too complicated for something like my favorite episode of, because it's just incredibly detailed. But Magicians is top three. It's top tier.
Let me just say, I've been putting off talking about the Magicians. I love the Magicians so much, it makes me anxious. Like, leading up for Binchtown doing the Magicians season 5, like, I felt anxious. I was like, I don't know that I'll ever be able to do it justice. I can't possibly speak words that get the point across how much I love it. And Luke is the same way. Me and Luke started watching this at the same time. Me and Luke were like growing up, like we used to go to like magic shops. We spent hours on YouTube learning magic tricks and like learning how to throw cards and like stupid shit like that. Like this is our show, I like to say, like me and Luke's show. So fuck you, Matt. No, I did not strong arm him into picking that. I did strong arm Julia into picking Pretty Little Liars. That is the truth.
But that was good because that episode was fire.
Yeah, yes.
As opposed to the Magician's pilot not being fire?
Well, we haven't recorded it yet. And I mean, I don't see you with cupcakes. There was cupcakes at the Pretty Little Liars recording.
There was a secret when we were recording the Pretty Little Liars episode that is now public if someone wants to talk about it.
Luke?
So Julie's pregnant. Woo!
Woo! You heard it from Luke first. It's true.
We brought Luke on specifically to spread the news that our podcast,
that's
Julie,
Luke's first magic trick of the show.
I'm here for two reasons. The first is to talk about Kathleen's favorite show, and the second is to announce Julie's pregnancy. That's it. In out, 10-minute podcast.
So thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great rest of your week. So let's talk about this show, because I'm going to tell you guys that when Kathleen talked about the Magicians, I had no idea, like not a single idea what the show was about. Like, obviously I knew it was about magic, right? I'm not that dumb, but I didn't know what to expect, right? So, and I would have never watched it had Luke not picked this episode, even though Kathleen does try to sell it. She just, I have weak taste in shows. Like, I enjoyed Emily in Paris, and most people did not. It just shows the kind of person I am.
So here's the thing about Kathleen. Every single show she watches, she absolutely loves. She gets super attached to the characters and the plot. She reads everything there is about the actors outside the show and stuff like that. So it's very hard to know when a show is really good or if it's just Kathleen good. And I'm here to tell you that The Magicians passes the filter test, and it's the best. Like, I'm not biased by her loving the show as much as me. It just is the best.
This was my first time going back to the beginning and watching little things where I'm like, ooh, like Margot seems like such a different character, because I'm so used to like Margot after 5 seasons of growth. Elliot's kind of the same. A lot of the other characters, it's like, oh my God, I've seen these characters grow over 5 seasons. It's so weird to go back to when they're like babies and like they're not fully fleshed out yet. And like they can be put into like a singular box, because what I think is cool about the show is that by the end of it, none of these characters can be defined by one singular trait, but very much in the pilot, they can be defined by one singular trait.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, Matt. That's actually what I was a little bit afraid of for Julie, this being her first time experiencing the Magicians, is how in the beginning of it, the characters are so unrecognizable for where they end up going. And to back it up a tiny bit, how I like to describe the Magicians to people is it's just adult version of Harry Potter. And it's just a darker collegiate version of Harry Potter, if Harry Potter was, you know, high school, middle school. So shit gets really crazy. And then, you know, to add on to what I'm saying about the characters, this is the type of show that when you pitch it on paper, you're going to focus on how fantasy driven it is and how plot oriented it is with all the magic that's going on. There's gods involved and all these kind of things that are just super magical. But contrary to what you would think, it's a very character driven show. And I think that that's what makes people really, really love this show. And I think the 3rd and 4th season got like above like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it was universally loved and acclaimed. So, but again, it's not really the plot. It's just, you just fall in love with who these people are. And I would die for these actors. Like, and I have, you know, I don't even know much about them outside the show. I would die for these people. They're so great. And I love them.
I do.
Yeah, Kathleen, we know you do.
Julie, did you like it?
So I didn't think it was bad. My first note.
I just saw Kathleen die on camera.
Like, what do you mean, Kathleen? Do you want me to be like obsessed with it from one episode?
Guess who was obsessed with it from one episode?
You.
And Luke.
Oh, okay. I texted Kathleen a theory.
What's your theory? I'm curious. It was the same as mine.
I said that so far from watching episode one, I'm team Julia, but I think that Julia ends up being evil.
Isn't that exactly what my theory was?
It's a good theory. Yeah. You think this is her villain origin story?
Yeah, that's why I said, because I could see Julia going down like a Magneto route.
Do we talk spoilers? Like, it doesn't matter at all?
Depends on what you're about to say, Luke. Look at me in the eye and tell me with your eyes.
All right, I won't say it.
I mean, I think if you just like give, you know, we usually do spoilers. We just say.
I would prefer not to say anything that's going to, like, for example, my friend Kelly, it listens to every episode no matter what. Even if she's midway through the series or not. So don't say like season 4 spoiler stuff.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen's setting rules exclusively for her friend who listens.
Yeah, because I'm like, don't give you can say spoilers, but don't say the spoiler of all spoilers.
Yeah.
No, so what I was just going to get at is based on your theory, Julia, of saying that Julia's going to be evil. That's what you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the good things about this show, in my opinion, that's really kind of the backbone of it, is Julia and Quentin, the two main characters. But they take such wildly different paths, and I won't say like where it ends up or anything like that, but I think your observation is it's meant to be that way. The audience is supposed to take it that way, where Julia is going to take a completely unconventional underground route through the magical world as she gets introduced to all this stuff, while Quentin's going the textbook, you know, break Bill's school route. And we're gonna, yeah, you know, I'm not gonna say much, but we're gonna, you see them, their paths collide all the time, and just how they went through these paths dictates a lot of the plot. So that's a huge part of it.
My first note when I was watching this, so it obviously is like in the first like 5 minutes, but I wrote, so this is basically the Lion, Witch in the Wardrobe, but walking through a clock.
People think that. I've thought of it because you're going into something and coming out of into it. Let me just say, like, first of all, I want to say this in the beginning, like the complexity of the Magicians makes the rewatch value so high. Like even going back to the very first scene on a rewatch, you might not think it's so important. The first scene of the episode, how could there be so many like secrets in the first set of dialogue? But there is. I mean, even paramedic, it turns out to be somebody. Like it's so complex. Even saying like the characters are, maybe Matt was saying, like, maybe you can explain them with using one word, right? You know what I mean? But it gets more complex. It's just, I've rewatched the show 18 times. And I know I kept like texting the group being like, I have 10 more minutes left in the episode, as if I hadn't seen it 87 times before. But I wanted to finish the episode before we started recording. And I've said this on our Bingetown podcast, that the lore and the world of Fillory is something like, out of anything in the Magician's world, I wish that was real. Like I have a Fillory poster, like a scroll map of it on my wall in the city. Like in the books, the lore of Fillory is like the greatest, like fantasy driven part of it. It gets in season two, this I'll say, in season two they actually go to Fillory the end of season one, so it's like the whimsicalness and the humor in it is the best I've seen. And I'm honestly, Luke, I'm constantly scared that I'm never gonna love a show as much as I love this show.
No, I'm with you 100%. Yeah.
When I read like the Narnia books, like they're fine, but I've never wanted to go to Narnia. But like this and Hogwarts are like the only two fantasy worlds where it's like, no, I just want to like live in this world. Like I'm going to buy the first book in the book series as well so that I can like have more stories to read.
That's definitely another selling point to the audience who hasn't watched the show before, because The Magicians is 5 full seasons, completed front to back. So it's a, you know, completed collection all on Netflix. But it's based on a trilogy by Lev Grossman. So everything that they were pulling had some sort of source material that was already finished years prior. And whenever you get that situation going on, you know that a lot of the crazy fantasy points are just thought through very well to fit into a book form, and they're adapting it. So I think that's a lot of the strength that the show is pulling from, is just the books. And I know Kathleen likes the books a little bit more than I do. And this is the one case I think I know my entire life where I think the show is better than the what it was adapted from.
I agree. I think the way I did it was perfect. Luke read the books in the middle of watching the show. I watched the show to completion. I read the books and then the comics. And that way, like, I felt like I was still watching the show and I had the storylines from the show and I was just adding on details, instead of the opposite where it does take completely different routes, and they're different characters by the end. Some characters are more important than others, but I agree. I think the show does it way better. They focus on the humor a lot and the just outlandish, the craziest things they can think of in the show. Like, that's what they focus on while still totally making sense and everything coming together in a cohesive storyline, versus the books are, I was going to say, more fantasy and more, but I don't know if that's true. I don't know. But I agree. This is the one that I think that the show is better than the books as well.
But I have a question for you, Julie. I just want to know, because you're probably going to break my heart here, but just tell me what you think about my girl, Alice Quinn.
I have that exact question.
She's fine. I think she's going to be obviously a big character. I have one of my notes of her and Quinn obviously bang at some point. Like, there's just no way, right?
What do they?
So I figured that was inevitable.
I don't think I ever want to see her outside of the role of Alice Quinn. It's just gonna hurt it for me.
But to
keep the parallels with Harry Potter, she is just obviously the Hermione character, the genius level character that drives a lot of the plot alongside Quentin and Julia. But that's the harm with just watching the pilot of this show is, like I said earlier, the characters. I'm not sure they give off the best impression right away, at least some of them, especially Margot. She is the most wildly different character than what she's portrayed as in the opening couple scenes. But everyone I've ever talked to that's watched the show has grown to absolutely love her and die for her. So I think if you give her and Alice a little bit of a chance, because neither of them has a strong start, they both turn into my favorite characters.
Yeah, Alice is Luke's girlfriend for sure. And Margot's my girlfriend. She's underutilized in the books as well. Her name's Janet in the books, but she's my favorite character of all time. Like, just of all time. No one has better one-liners than her. Her and Elliot are two of my favorite TV characters that ever existed in the world. So yeah, they're definitely underutilized. I was going to ask what Julie thought of Penny, because Penny is just such a fucking dick in this, and not that he ever isn't a dick, but the way he's just sub roomy, I'm oh my god.
Wait, I don't know who that is.
He's Penny. The one that had sex with the girl and they float in the air.
Oh yeah, that's
iconic. That's an iconic scene that you just glossed over real quick. Like that, but
yeah, that was one of my notes. I was like, ooh, some freaky magic sex. I like this, but I didn't really have much feelings towards him in this episode. I feel really stressed right now recording this, because I feel like you guys have really high expectations of my answers, and I'm letting you down with every question that you ask. So I hope that we could just stop asking me questions.
This is why, for the record, this is why I didn't want to record The Magicians, because I knew this is how you were going to be reacting. And I'm I can't put myself through it.
You're making me feel like I'm the guest on the show, and it's making
me. No, we're just trying to include you, because you were the only one who hasn't seen it before.
I know. Well, I didn't know that Matt watched the show, so Matt's fake. And that's that.
Let's talk about the Quentin Coldwater. Just my heart and my soul, the hero we all want. This normal, super nerd guy, depressed super nerd. Come on, you better stop. This is Quentin Coldwater lives in my brain rent free. Everything about him, I love him so fucking much.
One of the characters that I immediately connect with when I watch a show.
Of
I'm
course.
Like, okay, yeah.
She said, "Do you think he's cute?"
Oh yeah. Oh, I think Quentin's cute. Absolutely. This is a hot boy show. Every guy in this show is gorgeous.
See, I beg to differ here.
What?
I don't think he's hot. I'm questioning my own sexuality. I thought Julia was the hottest, and no one has spoken about that.
Oh, well, we crowned her the hottest, but we Bingetown TV. Okay, let's just get this out of here. The Bingetown TV group chat, which we've had for years, is constant Bang Kill Marys and who's hotter. And it's the age old question, a tale as old as time. Margot or Julia and a character from The 100. No one really ever tops Julia, but I think the toughest matchup, and Margot really becomes an amazing character. She has the most gorgeous hair and her sass is out of this world. It's always between those two, which is a big hang up, but pretty much Julia trumps everybody except maybe Raven from The 100. But
oh wow, what a comparison.
I know.
We've talked about this before, actually, on literally a week ago when I was talking about Dead Like Me. It's hard when you're the person who's picked the thing and no one else has seen it. Because I think Kathleen was the one that called out, like when I was talking about how much I loved and like how much George's speech about dying affected me, she was like, yeah, but you know, Georgia.
Yeah.
And we don't. And like, that's what's so, cause like, if I'm watching this, like I would love to sit and have an in-depth conversation about how great the character of Elliot is, mm-hmm. but it is like physically impossible to have that conversation with the very little that you're given of Elliot in this first episode. Because like, to talk about why Elliot is such a great, complex character, you've got to experience him for at least three seasons to like really just scratch the surface on why he's so important to me.
Oh, absolutely. I just think it's hard to, like you're saying, do justice for any of the characters. So we can talk about the plot of episode one, because the plot is lit, in my opinion.
It's like, so lit.
Is it okay to just talk about the ending, or is it too soon to jump right into that? Because I feel like
walk us through the episode, and you can get, I mean, half of it is really just like them joining the school, and the ending is iconic, and that's coming from me. Iconic.
There's so much that happens in this. I swore that this was like a movie length episode. And then I was like, oh, they pack all of that into just 50 minutes? Like, not a second is wasted in this pilot.
Absolutely. Like, the amount of... I was thinking the same exact thing. Like, you get a lot of Julia's origins to what her path's going to be, ingrained with the introduction of magic into the world, into the test of magic, into break bills, into all these students that are at break bills that are going to be on this adventure for five seasons. There's a lot. You're right. I think it was a little bit longer.
A cool thing about the Magician's World that we've been recently talking about on Binge Town a lot, because by the way, we're covering season 5 on Binge Town TV. Go give it a peep, give it a listen. But by the end of season 5, we go through so many different plot lines where surprisingly, like math and science and all of this stuff is involved. Like it's and astrology and everything. It's not just like, hey, I'm doing these finger movements and now I shaved your head with, you know what I mean? I don't fucking know what I'm saying. But like, in order to be a magician and to do it well and to be efficient, you need to actually be kind of a genius to be really good and efficient at magic. Like you need to be an ace in fucking, I can't even think of any of the good maths. Calculus? O-chem? I don't fucking know. Anything. Plantology?
All the above.
They cover that a little bit when Quentin says to Julia, like, look, we found videos of George Bush that like accidentally created magic when he was drunk.
Well, that scene specifically always makes me go, my fucking God, if magic actually exists in this world and I don't have it, I'm so mad.
We're both mad. We're breaking into break bills.
I know.
Hi, Geekscapists. The Geekscape Podfather, Jonathan here. In May, we lost one of our own. Longtime Geekscapist Christopher Ellis, who was a friend and a part of our geek community from the very beginning. Chris even met his wife Sarah through our podcast, and their 2015 wedding seemed like a giant Geekscape party. Chris's final weeks battling in the hospital shed light on a huge national problem. The COVID pandemic has almost completely depleted our national and local blood banks. These supplies are used by thousands of hospitals to provide life-saving treatments to patients or to buy enough time for loved ones just to say goodbye. So for the next month and beyond, we're going to do it big in Chris's memory and do some good in the process. We're throwing a blood drive. Visit www.aabb.org to find a donation center near you, or visit other blood and platelet donation centers like the Red Cross. And let's make things interesting. For the next month, take a selfie of yourself donating with the hashtag GeekscapeGives and tag your favorite Geekscape podcast. We'll pick some charitable Geekscapists to send prizes to, and the podcast that gets mentioned the most we'll also get some cool rewards. I should actually cancel the podcast that gets mentioned the least. Can I do that? Whatever. The point is, go out there and donate some blood, tag a selfie of yourself doing it with the hashtag GeekscapeGives, and get others to do the same. We couldn't save our friend Chris, but we can do a whole lot of good in his name. Geekscape forever!
Well, I also like just in general the... how they cut to the beginning when Quentin is depressed and he's in and out of the psych ward and he's obviously, he's not happy. And then when they finally walk into mysteriously break bills, the coloring difference, how they make it like bluish grayish in the beginning. And then it's like, he walks into break bills, Julia and him both. And it's like, he's seeing color for the first time and it's going to change his life. His whole path has now changed. fucking love this pilot.
Yeah, and I think you talked about it a little bit earlier, Matt, and Kathleen, you just hinted at it again. Quentin is such a flawed character from his first scene that I kind of consider him the gold standard when it comes to relatable main characters. I just think that anyone that's watching this show in the first place has to have a tiny bit of nerdy side to them. I don't know if Julie counts because she's being forced to watch it, but anyone that's going to the Magicians organically is going to instantly connect with Quentin and see this kid who's just so full of amazement being introduced into a magic world in a dark version of, I keep saying Harry Potter, but that's pretty much what it is, where it's not going to be kiddie at all, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's still the most like magically beautiful thing that could have ever happened to this kid who was just obsessed with this world ever since he was a child. So I just love Quentin, and experiencing this world through Quentin's eyes, it makes a lot of people just gravitate towards him as a character. Did you feel that at all, Julie, or were you kind of just like, he's not cute, so you didn't care?
Wow, that is like some spot. Big shade you just dropped.
You called Jason Ralph like not cute?
Valley girl.
Yo, I'll tell you what, Luke, you call him like you see him. You just nailed that.
Oh,
Matt knows Jason Ralph. No, Jason Ralph is the man.
I was sitting here and I was like, as you were talking, and I was like, damn, like, he's like so passionate about this. Like, maybe I should just watch the show. But now I'm like, fuck you, Luke. I'm not watching the show, and I will trash it until I die. Okay?
There you sorry, go. Julie. There's the fuck you, Luke. There's of the fuck of you, this Luke. Episode.
I've listened to so many episodes. And I'm hearing I've never seen Julie's face before, but I just feel like I know you because I've heard you talk on so many episodes. So I feel comfortable attacking. But I also get that from Kathleen,
too.
It's
in your blood because Kathleen loves attacking me, too. It's just in your guys' blood. Okay.
That's my guy.
One of the notes, like, this is like so stupid, but it made me laugh at myself. So, like, Quentin gets like, he finds that the what is it, sixth chapter that they never had access to before. And he's like walking and reading it, and then like the paper blows and it's like leading him to like the test. But I wrote down, like, at what point do you stop chasing the paper? Like, I would have given up when it went through the fence. Is that like the point? Because it's like calling him.
Multiple things. I mean, you'll find out. And even in this episode, he's reading Fillory, and for like, Julia literally yells at him like, enough with the fucking Fillory shit. Like, stop, grow up. He would never let a page of a 6 Fillory book get away. Like, never. Not in a million years. And the whole magic of it all. One, just on principle. Two, on yes, I believe it was calling him. Like, he can't. Like, he would never. Just never. Whereas Julia just, like, opened an elevator.
Actually, what pissed me off, like, I'm Team Julia, whatever, but she was like throwing so much shade at him about magic, but now she's being a big ass drama queen that she didn't get in. Like when you find out she didn't get into the school, which we didn't walk through this episode, and I'm sorry because I'm like, Luke,
we'll get around to it. It's fine.
But and she like pulls off her ring, and I'm like, oh shit! I thought she was gonna be like, let me come in, or I'm gonna like kill myself. That's what I was thinking. But then I'm like, damn, she's smart as shit cutting that. So then she has the memory of it. Like, back to liking you, Julia. You got this, girl. Pull it off. And it seems like she is.
It's funny you say that because my first watch through of The Magicians front to back, like, it took me a while before I really liked Julia. You like her very, very early on, like the first couple of scenes when she's being really nice to Quentin and stuff like that. But just the fact that it seems like she gets so dark so quickly, I guess I just went the opposite way, but I totally understand. Like, she is beautiful, she's incredibly smart, like probably the smartest that's not Alice, and she's just craving acceptance into the magical world that she's being pushed out of. And Kathleen, you said it earlier, that would piss us off. We'd bust through, like, we're getting in there however. You know, there's no way you're keeping magic from us if we knew it was real.
For all you know, you've already taken the test and failed.
Yeah, you better fucking stop.
No, I got the highest score ever.
There's no way. Let me explain to you how me and Luke's relationship growing up was. So I'm 2.5 years older than Luke, and we grew up like doing basically everything together. Like, we loved all the same things. And he is always better than me at everything, just like a little bit better. So like, he's always been better at like Yu-Gi-Oh or chess or whatever we were doing, right? So Luke is the type of guy where he watched the Queen's Gambit and tried to become a chess champion, and he's been reading books and playing chess like constantly at all times. There's no way Luke doesn't get into break bills. I'll put that down on the table.
Thank you.
Put it on the board. Luke goes to break bills. Truly, he's good at everything.
Did you master chess?
It's definitely my favorite hobby right now, and I play it all the time. But I wouldn't say master. That sounds too much. But
so here's a question for Lean then. Based on this scenario, what we've painted is a situation where Kathleen is the Julia to Luke's Quentin. Mm-hmm. In this realm, do you go to underground alternative college as quickly as Julia does?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obsessive, like recklessly obsessive about things. So yeah, I have an obsessive personality. I wouldn't be able to, especially if I knew Luke was there. Jesus, I'm figuring out a way.
I would never leave you behind though, like Quentin does.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Quentin is a smug bastard. Like especially in the scene where James calls Quentin at Break Bills. There's a scene where it gets a close up on Quentin's face and he just goes, "What happened?" But he's like, has a smile and he's just like gazing upon Break Bills. And I'm like, dude, your girl's like in trouble. Like, hello, what the fuck? He does get a little smug about it. And especially in the first three or four episodes, it's like, it evens out because you think Julia's being a little crazy, but it's also, he's like gaslighting her almost in the first couple episodes.
Another thing you got to keep in mind, it's really hard to notice it when you're watching it for the first time, but a lot of time has passed throughout this first episode. Like we have a couple of interactions that give this away. Like when Quentin is talking to Alice about the mark, when he sees her reading the book with the marking in it, he sits down and says like, "I'm going to fail because I've been doing all these classes." You have to assume that months and months have gone by already and they're going through these magical trainings. Yeah. And at the same time, Julia is just mentally deteriorating. It makes it seem like it's only one or two scenes later. But when James is calling Quentin, I'm assuming it's months and she's just slowly and slowly becoming crazier.
Yeah, that's a good point because I didn't think like that. Like I was like, damn, she got dramatic real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like you finally failed at something and you don't know how to accept it. And it's like, damn, bitch, chill. Like she's obviously sad and it's her birthday. She's about to get like fake sexually assaulted in the bathroom. Can you chill? Can you like throw her a bone, please?
To back up in that scene a little bit, just for Julie's educational purposes, that is the best glimpse of the true characters of Elliot and Margot is the scene after Quentin is ready to just bounce. And you see them just like having a ball, partying with these random people that Quentin just introduced them to. They are just the most fun people ever. And I think they hinted at it earlier in the episode when Elliot and Margot were giving Quentin the tour and saying, "Don't ever come by our house if you have anything to do the next day." And if you continue with this show, you will see how these guys party. And they party very magically. So all that's just fun writing for the magicians, writers to put in there. And they do it very well.
Yeah.
And they only hone in on their craft, baby, because it just gets better and better and better.
I did like Elliot, too. I should say that. Like, I've been really only hyping up Julia, but I liked Elliot, too.
Yeah. Quentin Coldwater. Like, the first time. For anyone who's watching this who's actually seen any, you get a really good payoff of Todd then being Elliot in a later season doing the whatever her name is, like the Julia lookalike. I don't know, like the new Julia. And then she says, like, "Am I hallucinating?" He's like, "If you were, would that matter?" It's like,
would asking me help? Yeah.
Yeah, would asking me help? And Todd does it so good because, you know, Todd just wants to be Elliot. We're missing some Todd in this pilot.
For sure. There's a couple of main characters that we are missing, but one we haven't talked about at all yet is Dean Fogg, who is the Harry Potter equivalent of the Dumbledore for this universe, except he is the most flawed version of a Harry Potter parallel. But Dean Fogg has the craziest ending and maybe the most important opening scene of the episode. That's just big picture meta stuff that they're talking about. So that doesn't mean much to you yet, Julie, but he becomes such a important character that's just, I don't know, Kathleen, how would you describe Fogg?
I think that you take Fogg for granted. And now that we're in season five, we talk about that a lot, how you don't give Fogg the credit he deserves. He, like you said, he's the Dumbledore, but you can't really explain Fogg until you get through season one and you get the big twist of season one. And because then you get the full picture of everything he's been through. That's true. It always bothered me actually in this episode, how like knowing what we know about Fogg and the Beast, how he didn't have something ready for him in the classroom. It's like, really? Like, you didn't have Rhineman Ultra ready for the boy? Like, come on.
The Beast is a fun character to talk about, too.
Oh, my God.
the big bad of the season, partially the series. He is just with the moths everywhere. It's super intimidating guy, just absolutely powerful. His scene is one of my favorite scenes of the entire series and a lot of fantasy shows. And that's why I picked the pilot, mostly is that last minute when he walks up to Quentin and just looks him right in the eye and says, "Quentin Coldwater, there you are." And it's just so epic. It's so 0 to 100 in the first 50 minutes of this five-season show. And like, you know, I love the beat. I love the beat. I love his, I don't know if you noticed, but he has six fingers. They kind of focus in on that for a second. He's got his moths. He's got his little dance step that he does. Wow, this character's amazing.
I loved the ending. You know there's going to be like a villain, right? I mean, you get the foreshadow of the fog on the mirror with the smiley face, so you know some shit's about to go down eventually. But I definitely wasn't expecting it in the pilot. And I loved at the ending when he like kills the head dean guy and then rips out his eyeballs and makes the same smiley face on the desk. I was like, ooh, iconic. That was iconic. My iconic moment.
Truly is. That scene is 10 out of 10.
And spoiler alert, epic voice. A voice for Broadway. When I went to New York Comic Con back in 2017, I went to the Magician's panel and somebody had cosplayed the Beast, and it was the best cosplay I've ever seen. It was actually a woman, but she was in a suit top to bottom, and then like she somehow made this moth helmet thing that was literally the coolest thing. I tried to get a picture so hard, but she was so far and it was dark in the room, but it was the best cosplay I've ever seen, probably because I'm biased, and I mean it's not the best cosplay in the world, but it was like it seemed so, I mean I was at a Magician's panel so it makes sense, but it's so niche, like it's so specific. I was like, oh my god, I was about to mug her and steal it. It was awesome. I was also delirious because I was in that room for 8 hours with no food because I wanted to save my seat for the Magician. Spoiler alert, you don't gotta stay in the same panel room all day long. People come in and out. There's plenty of seats.
You didn't eat that whole time?
I had a granola bar at 10 a.m. and the panel was at 4, so 6 hours.
I would have been dying. Don't they have food?
Only a bar, and I was like, I shouldn't. I'm going to get blacked out in one drink. Like, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, true. Like, empty belly, yeah.
Yeah, empty belly. Me and Luke are going to get Hedgewitch tattoos on our arm one day.
I'm down.
We skipped around to the end, but I feel like there's still more we have to talk about.
We pretty First much of all, covered the majority of it. I'm looking at the notes of the episode. The only thing we really missed was a little bit like the intro, I guess, of Alice Quinn. But we talked about her, Penny and Katie growing their relationship a little bit, too.
I'd like to say, and this isn't the less of what I like, but I love it anyway. So, you know, in Deathly Hallows Part 1, when Hermione narrates the Deathly Hallows and you get the animated walkthrough of all the Deathly Hallows. I love in cinema when they do that, TV, movies, whatever it is. In season 3, they do the same thing for the quest for the 7 keys. But this gives me similar vibes when Quentin's kind of narrating the Chatwins. You get the introduction of the Chatwins. We haven't really talked about them anymore. So the lore of Fillory is that whoever wrote the books, the three Fillory, or there's plenty, 5 Fillory books, it's about the Chatwins. So the twins and their older brother, Martin. So Jane, Rupert, and Martin, and they go through the clock and they enter Fillory. I like the bits that we get. I like that it's like you can't choose when you get to go to Fillory. Fillory chooses for you, which is a big theme in the books. And I just love Quentin narrating it. And he says something like, "But this is no child's tale," or something. And I'm like, ah! I love it so much. It's so good. It's so deep and rich and such a good story within. And I would say the music of when, like, if you were gonna take a vacation, a weekend into my heart, like say you just like shrunk in size and you're taking a vacation into my soul, that music is playing in there on a loop at all times. And the music from when he's taking the exam itself, the just like is that's the music in my soul. Just so you know, that's the scoring of my soul.
The exam's another scene we didn't talk about, which was a really cool one. But I completely agree with you. This show slaps when it comes to music, whether it's it's their own original stuff or the songs that they bring in the future episode. Kathleen, you know what I'm talking about.
Julie, for fun, let you know, and the people and the listeners, that each season, the theme screen, the title card is like the hand, and it's just like a wall in New York City, and it's the hand. Every season, they put different graffiti on it based on what's going to happen during the season. Just another cool thing they do, especially because, especially when you're on like episode one. Me and Luke started watching live pretty early on. So you watch it episode one live and then you're like, ooh, what does that mean? Why are they like, what, why are there bees? Why is there a moon? Why is there a Kraken? Like different stuff. So
talking about like title cards and stuff that give you hints on what's to come, when Quentin makes a castle out of cards, I got a little bit of a Game of Thrones opening sequence vibe for a split second. I was like, ooh, I forgot how awesome that scene is. We're just, show me some magic, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah, that scene says a lot about Fogg and Quentin, because that's just the classic fantasy trope where the main character just has this untapped raw power of just pure magic. And that kind of defines a lot of Quentin in the early seasons. Just someone who's a little bit rough around the edges, doesn't have the Alice and Julia touch, but just has the pure power. There's no other way to say it. And you know, that's why he's the main character.
You're loving his heart, because guess what, Luke? Where does magic come from?
Pain.
Boy, does it. Boy, fucking does it.
The way you looked at me, I was like, am I fucking wrong?
He puts so much pressure on people and doesn't even realize she's doing
it. Magic comes from pain is the theme of all of the magicians. So it's like, you're not gonna do your best magic when you're in love and happy. It's like, you're the most forceful, like powerful magic comes from deep within, because of all the feelings you're having, the dark feelings.
So do you think that's why like Julia didn't start showing her magic until she didn't get in?
That's actually a great point.
I have a serious question. I'm gonna let Luke down. I just know it. I'm nervous. I've only ever seen the first Harry Potter. You keep comparing it to Harry Potter. Like, do I need to watch Harry Potter? Like, not that it has any tie, but it's like, if I'm not a Harry Potter fan, will I not be a magician's fan?
No, magicians is like sexy and like drugs and it's fun. It's grad school. It's like they're literally going to Penn State and getting fucked up and like, but it's cooler because it's magic. There's full episodes of them getting like hazed, magically hazed, and they turn into geese and they fly to Brakeville South and they fuck as foxes and like, it's crazy. It's literally like the coolest show of all time. It really is. The writers, I want to shake every single one of their fucking hands and kiss them on the cheek and then kiss them on the mouth if one of them wants to.
Well, consent. I'll definitely say you should watch Harry Potter just for your own sake, because it's the best. It's also really, really good. But Magicians is, you know, a little bit more relevant right now. I think you would enjoy both of them, because I think everybody would. But if sci-fi fantasy magic isn't really your number one thing, you don't have to watch all the Harry Potters, but I think they're amazing. I grew up on them. They're like my favorite books besides Game of Thrones.
And I think that like what I have to do in order to watch the Harry Potters is I have to like schedule a vacation to Universal Studios. So then I understand the hype of Harry Potter World.
Oh, like, that is one of the best places in the world.
Now. And like, and that's what everyone says. But like, if I went right now not seeing the movies, I wouldn't get half of what I'm looking at. I would just be like, wow, this is so cool.
So it's basically like with me and Bingetown, the boys like, kind of. I was going to say they schedule like a How I Met Your Mother episode in like the fourth season. So then I have to binge up until the fourth season. It's like the only reason I'm watching it is because I have a reason to watch it.
Like a push. Exactly. Yeah. Like I wouldn't like sit down on a Saturday and watch Harry Potter. But like, well, if I was going to Universal,
I love the Harry Potter movies. I haven't seen them in a really long time. And that may just because J.K. Rowling is a fucking loser. Fuck you, J.K. Rowling. But she creates good books.
Don't you hate to see that? Oh,
I think Harry Potter is like Bible. It's something you have to know. How can you be our age and you've never seen 8 of the greatest movies of all time? I mean, it's just some of the best. I don't know. I feel like they're referenced so often in the media and our culture and stuff. I don't know. I think they're like, you have to.
Yeah, everything that's like made nowadays that's any type of magic is pulling from it in some capacity. They directly reference Harry Potter and the Magicians multiple times.
I think that there's people, I don't think people give enough credit to Deathly Hallows. This is going to sound weird, but like without Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2, I think that there is a direct line to proving that that would work, releasing like two parts of a movie that led to like the Marvel movies and led to like all of this other stuff. Like that was really the first time I can think of where someone was like, we're going to literally stop this mid story and pick it up in like 7 months from now.
And again, to coincidentally bring it back to the magician specifically, in the pilot, the episode stops mid-scene. Like when the beast walks up to Quentin and says, Quentin Coldwater, There you are. The next direct scene at the beginning of episode two is 5 seconds later. So they use that same kind of tactic, and they also do the same thing at the end of season one, I think it is. Right, Kathleen? Is that where they stop mid-scene right after with the beast incident?
Oh, boy, do they. What and a cliffhanger. Then, that's insane, exactly. Honestly. That cliffhanger is fucking insane.
So yeah. They use it to a lesser degree because it's not movies, but it's still, you know, same concept of pulling from Harry Potter's part one, part two.
Going back to the Harry Potter thing. I just recently grew on Star Wars, which is very out of character for me.
From what?
So both my brothers are big Star Wars fans. So I asked Brian which order I should watch them in. So I watched I think it's the top, isn't it five, Matt?
It's four, five, and six. So yeah, New Hope, Emperor Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
Right. And Empire Strikes Back is my favorite of all time. I've watched it 100 times since I've seen it. I love Darth Vader. He's so hot.
Who plays him?
This is real.
Who plays him?
I mean, I don't know. Angel not Jones. Like okay, correction. I don't love Darth Vader, think he's hot under the mask.
Oh, you think you're sexualizing the mask.
I'm sexualizing how
you like that he's bad.
How evil he is. Like I like every scene he was in, I like blushed. I was like, oh my god, he's
We're not talking about like Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, Star Wars. We're talking old school Star Wars, right?
I'm ill of thinking about you thinking I meant not wearing a mask because he is like 90 years old under the mask.
You got to keep that in the podcast.
So you have to go to Hollywood Studios because that's what kicked it off for me. Like we went to Disney as adults. And
you're
Hollywood,
like, fuck that Darth Vader.
Yeah, like I'm gonna bang the shit out of that stormtrooper if he comes over here one more time. Like, you're like so evil and like badass. And when I went,
what the fuck that stormtrooper?
Like Matt knows, like they literally. They'll just like you'll be like I love Disney, and then they'll literally block off the street and be like everybody get back with like lightsabers, and then like the stormtroopers come in with oh my god I'm sweating thinking about this I'm getting hot. The stormtroopers
this is my in. Favorite thing about you do you know
oh
that
my god,
this
come in and it's like dun 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 dun, dun and dun, oh my god. So yeah, that's what made me start watching it. And now
if you were to tell me that someone was about to give that whole little speech that you just did right there following saying I've never seen a Harry Potter movie, I never would have believed you.
No, but when you meet with me and Kenny, don't be alarmed when he shows up in a Darth Vader costume.
That's how I feel about a scream mask. Like show up in a scream
exactly.
mask
and now I just really want you to watch Empire Strikes Back so you get it, because I actually feel like you would get it, Kathleen.
Ooh, why don't we do an episode on it?
Okay, but only if you get it. Like, if you're like, this is, like, so dumb, then I'm like, okay, we're not talking
about it. Okay, we would have, out of 100 of our episodes, we would have, like, 20 recorded if we did that logic with you, where you're like, do you get it?
do
you get it, Julie? Do you like it? Anyway, okay, we're going to bring it back to the magicians. I have two questions ready. For Jewel, I'm going to repeat some of the disciplines or emphasis, what they call it in this episode. What emphasis or discipline would you choose if you had magic? And of course, you can kind of do everything. Like, it's not like if you are a psychic, you can't do physical stuff, but whatever. So there's the physical kids, there's telekinesis, there's illusions, healing, nature, knowledge, psychic, but that's telekinesis. So yeah, there's a bunch of different ones.
I think I would do healing.
Aww. That's sweet.
Yeah, I would not want to be a mind reader because I would be very upset hearing anyone's thoughts like Luke about me. So definitely put me down for no on that one. But like healing, like, oh, love that.
Okay.
Well,
Luke?
I'll definitely say that healing could have been used. They could have used a healer throughout this entire series. So, but me personally, I'm just physical kids because I'm going to the physical kids cottage. I don't care what happens past that. I'm partying with Elliot and Margo.
1000%. Matt?
So I'm trying to remember what all the different studies do. And I'll just say what I would like, you know, you always get that question, like if you could have one magic power, yeah. You could have like one superpower, what would it be? My big thing is I want to be able to transform into different types of animals. So whichever study is going to get
Harry
me
Potter
closer
stuff.
To that. Yeah. Like I want that, like Animorphs were my shit
yeah,
as a kid.
I was just
going to
say,
I want to be an
like
Animorph.
Every Animorph book
possible. I still do. I still do. I want to be an animorph.
I don't
so
know
bad.
If that's a discipline. Kathleen, I mean, it happens. Like, they get turned into animals at points.
That's what I mean. They turn into wolves and shit, but I don't think that's a specific discipline. I think they just all get it with magic.
What animal would you want to turn into?
Oh, no, I'm going animorph style because it's the cheat code of wishing for a superpower, because you can literally morph into however many animals you want. So if you want flight, morph into an eagle and you can go ahead and fly. If you want to be invisible, morph into like a cricket and like hang out in a corner where
no one
can see
that.
You. All the superpowers under one umbrella.
But what would be your first pick?
Oh, my first pick would be I want to fly. I'd be like an eagle or something.
Yeah,
just
that's
go
good.
Soaring out.
100%. I used to always say if I could have a superpower, it would be to fly.
This is the Binge Town special. Since we're here, we might as well do it. We do a Van Kill Mary at the end of every episode, right? So in this scenario, lobotomy for Matt, me, and Luke. I'm talking first episode impressions. Throw away everything else you've ever known, okay? And we're doing the classics. We're doing Julia Wicker, Alice Quinn, and Katie Orloff Diaz. And I just impressed myself that I was panicking mid that I wasn't going to know Katie's last name, and then I pulled it out of nowhere.
Wait, who was it again?
So we've got Julia, Alice, and Katie. So Katie's the good banging one. Alice is the blonde. Julia, you know, Julia is.
I could start. And this is contrary to everything I ever stand for in future seasons. So this is only with what you just said, Kathleen, contained in the first episode. I'm actually going to kill Alice because she was the hardcore bitch and she's not likable in any way yet. And she was mean to my boy Quentin. So I'm killing her. I'm going to marry Julia because she's pretty perfect. She's a little nerdy. She's friends with Quentin. And she is, as you could tell, super ambitious and ready to just take on magic. So she gets the marry, and then Katie gets the bang, because how the hell are you going to pass up on the floating sex scene? That's just easy.
Hell yeah.
100%. I think I have the same exact answer, except for I feel like you get the vibe from Alice that like she's slightly misunderstood and you know she's going to redeem herself.
Okay.
So like I think that if I switched it up, I would kill Katie, right? That's her name? Katie?
Sure.
Fuck Julia and marry Alice.
That's a great answer. We'll accept.
That's my future answer. Once you get more knowledge about it.
Mm-hmm. I would kill Julia.
Oh, okay.
Julia's actually always been one of my least favorite characters anyway, but in this episode...
Oh, that is
you know,
ballsy.
That,
kill Julia.
Yeah, but this episode, I don't know. She's turning evil. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
You love a bad girl.
I would
bang Katie and... marry Alice.
Wow.
I like Dorothy.
I'm into
people.
It. I love that you guys both married Alice.
Alice is so your type, 100%.
So a fun thing that we did, we decided that Katie's actually the one doing the sex magic during that bang. It's still up for interpretation. Is it Penny? Is it Katie? Who's to say? We think it's Katie, mostly because she's got like freaky underground magic in her back pocket at all times. Like I love, there's a bit where they need to do battle magic and she's like, meditate every day for 10 hours each, like for whatever to be able to do battle magic every day. I'm like, this bitch is legit. But yeah, I'm going to bang. It's so hard to throw away all of my knowledge. In my but I'm going to say what Luke said, and I'm going to marry Julia. Yeah, I'm going to marry Julia. I'm going to bang Katie, and I'm going to kill Alice. Katie was always being banged. I was just ready to flop the two of those, Julia and Alice. Because
if you marry Katie, you get the floating sex all the time.
Right.
But you don't get Julia then.
You don't get Julia.
And you got to get like motion sickness at some point.
Do we want to also do this with the three men?
Oh, we might as well if we're here. We got the time.
Yeah, I got to pull the cast list up. So
we're doing Quentin, Penny, and Elliot?
Yeah, I think that's
okay.
Fair.
Okay.
Go ahead, Luke, start us off.
Okay, so based on the first episode, I'm actually going to marry Elliot. Normally, once you get more exposure to Quentin, he's definitely the answer. But Elliot's the fun, bubbly one. He obviously knows his shit. He's good at magic. He's a little bit older. He's just incredibly fun, and he gives you an in to being best friends with Margot, so that's an easy marry. Quentin is a little too troubled and issued in the beginning, and you don't really understand him yet, so it's kind of hard to choose to marry into that because he's a little chaotic and his brain's all over the place. So I'm actually going to kill Quentin.
How dare you?
Penny would be fun. I don't know he's a traveler yet, but he's a psychic. So you can do whatever you want. You know, I feel like that'll be a great time at Breakville. So I'll bang Penny and kill Quentin.
I would marry Elliot, bang Quentin, kill Penny.
Why?
Just because I said so.
This one's actually really tough for me as I'm thinking about it, because I'm thinking about it from this perspective. And at the end of the day, I'm killing Penny. That's like a consistent thing. So Penny's getting killed. Now, where I'm torn is with the Quentin Elliott thing, because I'm thinking about it this way. In one sense, I relate very much to Quentin, so much so that to marry Quentin, I feel like would almost become a boring marriage.
Marrying yourself. But then
the flip side is like, I think Elliot's too much of a partier for me. Like, I don't think I could keep up. Like, that's like a marriage that's going to definitely end in divorce. So like, I'm really torn between where I land with the two of those, especially if I'm basing it off of not knowing how they grow in the future. But marry Quentin, bang Elliot, I guess, final answer.
I am going to, God, I don't want to say the same, but I'm going to do the same as Luke. I'm going to marry Elliot. I'm going to bang Penny. And then I'm going to, because like, honestly, Penny's a dick, but he rides for Katie. Like, especially even in that first episode, I love when she's like, I'm obviously coming with you. And he's just like, okay. Like, he likes her right from the start.
He's got the style, loyal too. He's got the jacket and the boots. Yeah. He's killing it.
You always see that chest. I love it. He's hot. We love Penny. We stan. So, yeah, I'm going to bang Penny, and then I'm going to kill Quentin for the same reasons Luke did. But let me just say another small moment that I love. The entrance of Margot. So the first time we meet Margot is Elliot. Like, Penny and Quentin had just met, and the book's missing. The sixth book is missing, but Margot and Elliot pop in, and she's like, that's him. And he's not that cute. And you know that Elliot was like, I met this cute little like freshman boy or first year boy or whatever. And I'm like, I die? My chest?
The actor that plays Elliot is hot.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's literally a scene in the last episode we covered where Julia looks at Elliot and is like, you attract everybody. Like, you're appealing to everybody. You're bound to attract some like bad ones or whatever. But he's just so like, he's so lovable, but so flawed.
He actually went to school to be an actor in like this prominent acting school. I don't know where it was, but so he was born to play this part. He delivers every line so well.
Mm-hmm. So Luke and Kathleen, how about you tell us about Bingetown before we end the episode?
Good, Luke, hit us with a little
Bingetown
gospel.
Yeah, so we've been referencing it all episode, but Bingetown TV, Kathleen's other podcast, we run it with five other of our good friends.
The boys.
And the premise is we're just super TV nerds, as you can tell by the name, and we just deep dive all of our favorite kind of shows. We mostly focus on sci-fi and fantasy, but we're not afraid to hit super dramatic and realistic crime, anything. Basically, your entire umbrella of good TV, we cover it. But yeah, so, you know, give us a listen. We're currently covering season 5 of The Magicians, which this was perfect timing because that just dropped about a month ago. So it's a perfect time to just binge watch front to back season 1 to 5. And I promise you, you'll be as passionate about it eventually as me and Kathleen.
And you can listen to that on all podcast streaming.
Check in.
Spotify, Apple Music, Apple not music, but you know what I mean? iPhones.
Geekscape.net, all of them.
Everywhere. All right.
Yeah, that's it. Luke, thanks for coming. You got any final things on The Magicians?
It's the best show ever. If you couldn't tell, the passion was oozing from me, and Julie's pregnant. Woo!
Woo!
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.